Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
From Autosport.com and Autosport Magazine, I'm Martin Lee, and this is the Autosport Podcast. Formula One's driver market had its explosive moments this year with Alonso, Piastri, Ricciardo, those dominating the headlines. But now it's the turn of the team bosses. So today we'll ask who's in and who's out, what it means for next season and even on a longer term as well. And why does there seem to be a higher turnover in recent times? Let's answer those questions and more as well. Let's get up to speed with Autosport's F1 reporter Luke Smith. Hey Luke, welcome back to the podcast. We thought the season was over. Maybe a time to relax after the Autosport Awards. Chill a little bit. No chance. It's just got so busy. How are you doing today?
Yeah, good. Thank you, Martin. Yeah, as you say, I think we all thought it would be off season. And the classic question anyone who works in F1 has asked other people who work in F1 is, oh, so you get some time off now, wind down a little bit. And on the media side, it's still been pretty busy. There's still been lots to do, magazines to write, things like that. And then, yeah, the last 24 hours or so, it's really exploded into, I think, one of the biggest news days of the year in terms of sort of just the sheer number of twists and turns that we've seen in this weird team principal silly season, which has never really been a thing before.
Well, the role of team principal or its equivalent is one which has become increasingly high profile to followers of Formula One, with the media often speaking to them as much as the drivers. Now, on the 29th of November, we learned that Ferrari would be parting ways with Mattia Binotto. Just take us back to that moment for anyone that's not heard our podcast we made about that. But what happened with Ferrari and Binotto? And then what did that tee up?
I think even a couple of weeks before that, when we were in Abu Dhabi, the first reports came out suggesting that Binotto was on his way out of the team, that the management at Ferrari, Chairman John Elkann and the CEO Benedetto Vigna, had lost faith in him and were looking elsewhere for the future. And Ferrari denied these reports at the time. They also denied that Frederick Vasseur, who was the team principal at Sauber, Alfa Romeo, was being teed up as the replacement. Ferrari denied all of this. Binotto said that he had sort of faith for the future. He felt relaxed about things. But then, as you say, on November 29th, we got that announcement through that Binotto had resigned and would be leaving the team. And the winds have all been blowing one way ever since then, that it would be Vasseur who would take up that role. And even in Bologna last week, I went for the FIA end of season prize giving gala. The top three in the championship are there. Charles Leclerc attended, and I asked him in the press conference and said about Vasseur. I said, what do you think about that? And he was quite coy. He said that I don't really have any input into who is team boss or anything, but he said Fred is a very straight shooter. He's very honest. I like that. They worked together previously at Sauber and in junior formerly as ART Grand Prix, which is a team that Vasseur helped co-found. So it's always been really setting the way that Vasseur would take up that role at Ferrari. So that was always anticipated. And yeah, we learned yesterday that it was going to be this morning we would have that announcement. But then the bigger bombshell came again this morning when it emerged that also Vasseur's replacement, who was someone we were kind of discussing last night and was sort of thinking, oh, who could it be, had actually been already been lined up. And it was Andreas Seidel, the team principal at McLaren, who is one of the best in the F1 paddock. And it just set off this domino reaction today where we've had, yeah, Binotto leave Ferrari a few weeks ago, Vasseur get confirmed at Sauber, Seidel then confirmed at Sauber as Vasseur's replacement, and then McLaren confirm Andrea Stella, who was previously their executive director for F1, is going to step into that team principal role. So yeah, it's kind of been this domino effect where just one change, which was Binotto leaving Ferrari, has set all off all these bits in motion.
And there is still a Williams story we'll get to at the end of the podcast. But first of all, let's unpick what's happened here. So why do you think Ferrari were lining up Fred Vasseur? The last 5 years he spent with Sauber as their head of their Formula One operations. Do you know any info on when he might start and what his official job title might be?
Yes, so Vasseur will be starting on January 9th, so not very long to go until he'll be able to get working there. And he will be team principal and general manager, which is a little bit different to what Mattia Binotto was. He was team principal and managing director, so it's a little bit of a shift there. Binotto, obviously, he had that dual role as well, where he was also looking after the technical side of the team as well as being team principal, whereas Vasseur is going to be very much focused on just that kind of team principal role, as it were. There's no gardening lever or anything for him to do. It's good that he's able to get there swiftly. There isn't this sort of long wait or anything like that. And for him, I think he's going to bring to Ferrari something that, yeah, maybe they've been missing at points. I think that Binotto going, that was always an exit that I think surprised quite a few people, given the progress Ferrari had made through 2022. But Vasseur, like, he's proven himself, I think, through his time, yeah, at Sauber, Alfa Romeo. This year was their best season in terms of where they finished in the standings for 10 years. I think that was a very good sign. He's helped lift the team from being financially limited, let's say, to turning it into a team that Audi, the big German manufacturer, saw as being who it wanted to work with when it came into Formula One. So I think a lot of credit does deserve to go to Vasseur for that. And his name has been linked with Ferrari for I think quite a few weeks, ever since Binotto's departure was rumoured and reported. And that speaks to just his track record. And yeah, I did an interview with him a few weeks ago, actually, before any of these sort of reports started to emerge. And we said about sort of like the way you work to make improvements and stuff. And I said, like, oh, like, what have been some of the best points this season about what Alfa have done? And he said, it's not my job to say, oh, here are all the positive things. He said, it's my job to look at the negatives, look at the bits where you F up, is how he worded it, and say, right, now we do better and we fix this. So I think that shows the mentality, and I think that will serve Ferrari very, very well moving forward.
Now, because he isn't one of the more high-profile team principals in the paddock, well, he is now. He's right at the very top table. But he wasn't always somebody that the media would go to first because of the team he was leading. But what's his route into being Ferrari's team principal, general manager? What's his background in motorsport, and how qualified is he for this job?
Very qualified, yeah. He's been in motorsport for 27 years, 28 years, longer than that, 30 years, sorry, even. When he was younger, he did an engineering degree and sort of worked as an engineer in motorsport. Then he went on to set up his own racing teams. And then in the mid-2000s, he set up ART Grand Prix with Nicholas Todd as the co-founder. And that has been a huge team for junior motorsports and getting so many great drivers into F1, raced in GP2, then Formula 2, GP3, all those sort of junior categories. Drivers he's worked with are Lewis Hamilton, Nico Rosberg, George Russell, Charles Leclerc, Nico Hülkenberg, Jules Bianchi. That it goes on. There's a lot of great names have been associated with ART and the work that Vasseur has done. And when he came into Formula One, so he got his first F1 role heading up a team in 2016 when he joined Renault as part of their management reshuffle. And he was only there a few months, and it turned out that he didn't quite fit in well with what they wanted. And there was this weird setup where Cyril Abiteboul was the managing director and Vasseur was team principal, and it didn't quite work having two chiefs, really. So he left after a few months, and he said that he was okay with that. He said, I knew I didn't fit in, and that was okay. And he said, I was quite actually looking forward to a bit of time off. And then he got a call up from Sauber, which had just undergone a change in ownership, and they said that they wanted to bring him in to be the new CEO of Sauber Group and the team principal. So that's something that Vasseur jumped at. He said he liked where that project was going. Within an hour of beginning his job, he cancelled their planned engine deal with Honda for 2018, said, we're not doing that, it's the wrong way to go. So that shows kind of the mentality and the clear direction he has about things. And since then, he's really helped turn that team around. So he's got a lot of experience. He's very well suited to this team role. It's definitely a different beast running Ferrari than it is any other Formula One team, and they're going to be a big step up from where he's been at Alpha for the past few years. But I think that he's got all of the qualities we need. And one thing I really like about Fred, and so many people have said, he's got a real good humour. Like, you can have an interview with him and he'll be happy to have a joke and have a laugh about things and make the odd comment off record and stuff like that. And he's dedicated, but he also doesn't take himself too seriously, all the time, which is, I think, a really good quality to have, and maybe something that's been missing a bit from Ferrari. So I really hope that we don't lose that from Fred, because he's a great character. I've enjoyed our chats through the years, and yeah, he's now going to be in the spotlight a little bit more, but I really hope that we can continue to have access to that good guy that is Fred Vasseur.
I'd like your thoughts on what his experiences in his most recent role could bring to Ferrari. Now, Formula One is a cost cap series. It is no longer a series where Ferrari, with its own test track, going back a while now actually, but with unlimited testing, could just pound around their test track day and night. Those days are long gone in Formula One. And what's it going to be like for him coming from a team where, okay, there wasn't unlimited money, Ferrari does have more, but what are those experiences that he's had for the past few years going to feed into modern Formula One teams?
I think it's exactly what modern F1 teams need, is this kind of this team principal role, where it's not so much about simply saying to your manufacturer, your backer, oh, I need more money, please write me a check. It's actually about saying, right, this is our limited amount of money. We know how much, every team knows how much under the cost cap we have to spend. Let's make it work to the best that we can. And I think that's something that has worked well at Alfa and Sauber over the years. Yeah, they've been one of the smaller operations. They've obviously come a long way from when the team was dicing in and out of, is actually going to be around anymore, sort of in that sort of 2015-2016 period, and is now in really good shape. And I think that the way that Fred oversaw that, kind of with the, it was a wider business view as well. It wasn't simply just, oh, I am the team principal and I run the team. Like, he did have that, I think, broader scope. So I think that is something that will work very well with Ferrari. I think he brings a lot of experience in that regard, which is fantastic. But it is just the question of how different is Ferrari going to be compared to anywhere else he's been, and like, how much can he adjust it to what he wants? And he said that with Renault, back in 2016 when that didn't work, he said, I couldn't work the project to sort of fit as I wanted to, and it didn't really feel right. Whereas with Sauber, he said it felt like going back to sort of my junior days in terms of what I wanted and what I got out of it. And with Ferrari, you can't really get a project to say, right, I'm going to adjust it to what I want. Like, it's kind of how do you fit into Ferrari? But I think that, yeah, the qualities he's got are fantastic. I think he's, as a man manager as well, is a real, real good person to have on that front. And I think that's going to serve Ferrari really, really well moving forward.
A bit like George Russell moving from the back of the grid to the front of the grid, the car can only be better than what he was in. So at Ferrari, it's going to be so many more tools available to him. Coming up on the podcast soon, we'll talk about the bigger bombshell, McLaren. Williams will talk about as well. Stick around, those are on the way.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner. Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
All right, we're joined by Luke Smith, Autosport's F1 reporter, today to unpick what has been a crazy couple of weeks, but particularly crazy 24 hours in not the driver market, the team principal market in Formula One. Let's talk a little bit about how I don't think anybody saw the McLaren news. Andrea Seidel leaving the team to become, well, no, not team principal at Sauber. What's happened with Fred Vasseur going to Ferrari? What's Andreas Seidel's role?
So Seidel is joining Sauber as its group CEO. So effectively, it's a promotion from what he was doing at McLaren, where he was team principal and reporting into Zak Brown, who was the CEO. Now, for Seidel, he brings obviously a wealth of experience in racing. He was at Porsche when it dominated Le Mans with its LMP1 project between 2014 and 2017. He then moved into F1, back into F1, having worked at Sauber in his younger years. He then came back into F1 in 2019 with McLaren to be its team principal, and has really helped turn the team around there. He's really helped take it a long way forward, but he's not going to be team principal at Sauber in 2023, and his job now is to actually find a team principal. So it's an interesting dynamic, because Vasseur, he again had this kind of dual role where it was both team principal and the CEO of the group, whereas now they're splitting that, and Seidel's coming in to be the CEO. He'll have someone working underneath him, and I think it kind of shows that Audi, which we know is coming to F1 in 2026, which is going to work with Sauber as its strategic partner and take a majority shareholding as well, they saw Seidel as their guy, and Seidel was always the man they wanted to come across and work. Obviously, Porsche and Audi are sister brands within the Volkswagen group as well. And we actually spoke with Zak Brown less than an hour ago, actually, as part of a media call. And he revealed that actually there was a plan in place even before Vasseur went to Ferrari, that Seidel was going to link up with Audi, it sounds like, from 2025. And that was the plan. And Seidel had informed Brown that when my contract expires in 2025, I plan to move on and I've got a new challenge lined up. And then when Vasseur was moving to Ferrari, when that started to accelerate, Sauber's owner, Finn Rousing, he got in touch with Brown and said, what are the chances we can try and make this go a bit quicker, happen a bit smoother, and get it in place earlier? Because we're going to need someone to run the team sooner than 2025. And that's then when talks moved between McLaren and Seidel and Sauber, and paved the way for him to join from next season. So arguably the biggest story of the day. Yeah, it's crazy that Ferrari's new team principal isn't the man who's currently at the top of our traffic on autosport.com or anything like that. It's Seidel. I think that's the one that really surprised people and caught everyone out, really. And I think a big loss for McLaren as well.
So with Volkswagen Group coming into Formula One with their Audi brand, even though we talk 2026, we saw this with Mercedes and coming into the hybrid era, work can't begin too soon. This is a play not for 2023 or even 2024, but this looks like a setting up the chess pieces years and years in advance. And you and I have talked on a previous podcast about the dance that Sauber are going to have to do, because the team is Sauber, but of course they have a title sponsor in Alfa Romeo, but it's a bit like Formula E. Like, Alfa Romeo are there, but they're not making the engines. But there's a Ferrari partnership, and you're going to have an investor in that team. They're actually becoming a shareholder. You're going to have Audi coming in sooner than the Ferrari partnership will wind down. So there's going to be that dance to do of, well, Ferrari won't want to let Audi know all of their secrets and what have you. But this seems like to me at least, it's a real long-term play. What's your reading of that big chess game that's being played?
Yeah, it is definitely a long-term play. And I think the fact that we now know that it was even 2025, like they were, that's how confident they were Seidel was the man that they wanted to lead their Audi team. It was that we don't mind waiting another 3 years even to get a hold of him. So I think that speaks volumes about how good Andreas Seidel is in what he does. But yeah, it is this kind of, it's about setting up the chess pieces. And Audi have said that they realistically want to be competitive in F1 within 3 years. That's their goal. By then they can sort of, I'd assume being competitive, yeah, you'd think being able to challenge for race wins and be at the sharp end of the grid. And we've seen the momentum that's being built at Sauber over recent years. And I think this year was very, very good for them. Valtteri Bottas and Zhou Guanyu, really, really good driver pairing together. I thought performed excellently, both of them. And they got caught out by, I guess, sort of their development. It wasn't really aggressive enough. I think that's something that hurt them a bit. But it's still been a positive upswing. And I think that that is just going to continue to snowball as we get closer to 26. And Audi, yeah, they're not formally arriving until 2026, but we know that they're getting things ready. They're expanding their engine facility at Neuburg that's going to work hand in hand with the Sauber facility at Hinwil to put together the car. And they're clearly laying the foundations, and this was a big part of it. And I think that they quickly saw who they needed to head up the project, who they wanted. And that is why Seidel was their man. So I think now it at least gives time for Seidel to get sort of the right culture and things like that in place and things as he wants it to be before Audi comes in. Instead of, yeah, you arrive in 25, you've got 1 year, he's arriving in 23, he's got 3 years. So I think that is a really good bonus for him. I think that's a good chance for Seidel to, yeah, sort of make his imprint, because he's someone who's always been very driven by culture and doing things the right way. It's been very successful at McLaren, and I see no reason why that can't be replicated for Sauber and eventually Audi.
I think what always inspires confidence is, because people move on all the time from all different jobs and all walks of life, is that when a company or an organisation says, so-and-so's moving on, for these reasons, we wish them all the best, and here's who's going to be taking over the role. It always makes it look like an orderly transition. Meet the new boss, to quote The Who. But, same as the old boss, well, absolutely not, because it'll be a different personality coming into McLaren, and they've already announced who that's going to be. Who is it, and how will he be different to Andreas Seidel?
It is Andrea Stella, who has previously been their executive director. I've already seen memes where it's got Andreas and then it knocks off the S, and Andrea is the new team boss. So good news for any proofreaders out there. And it's an internal hire, and it's something that, again, McLaren have given a bit more background on, and that because they knew in advance basically that, okay, Seidel is going to leave at the end of his contract, therefore we need to start thinking already who will be our team principal then. Already then, Zak Brown said, Andreas Stella, he's my guy, he's who I want. And they sort of had some loose conversations about it when it became clear that things were going to move a bit quicker. And Brown actually didn't say to Stella, it's going to happen now. He just said, would you in the future be interested? And Stella, he's not someone who's been very public facing. He's always quite private, I think. And he tends to just get on with his job. And he said today that, I'm not someone who sort of chased the limelight or anything. I just want to get on with my job and do the best I can. So he admitted, like, he did have to think about, like, well, do I want to be a team principal where that's unavoidable? Like, you will be very public facing and very much being spoken to and about in the media as well. And he decided he did. And then, yeah, things accelerated so that it will be coming in to play immediately. And McLaren, the team, team workers, they were informed this morning, I understand, that Stella would be taking over from Seidel as team principal. And Brown said that it had been very well received, that the feedback was very, very positive, that everyone within the team was sure this was the right guy moving forward. I think it is going to be a slight change in approach in terms of, you're going from someone who's, yeah, had that experience running an operation and a team before to someone who is stepping into that role for the first time. But Stella he said he's worked with some big names throughout his racing career. He was at Ferrari for a very long time, so he worked with Sean Todd, obviously, through that very successful period in the mid-2000s. Stefano Domenicali, who he said was a great sort of people person and fantastic on the sort of soft skills side, so that's something he wants to emulate. And also worked under Andreas Seidel as well, so he knows the culture at McLaren. And I think that is the good thing here for McLaren. They've got continuity in terms of, it's not someone new coming in and saying, right, I want to do everything differently. It's someone who's been part of the project that Zak Brown and Andreas Seidel have been putting together, and I think that it bodes well. So yeah, a big step up, I think, for Andreas Stella, but it's one that he's worked hard for, and I think it's it looks like a good move for McLaren.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of that Rob Smedley era at Ferrari, where there was a new generation of engineers coming through that you'd hear on the radio with their drivers. And so they have, you know, these people do have profile if you've been into Formula One for any kind of period of time, but he'll certainly be much more in the limelight now. And if you thought all of that was enough to fill a podcast, there is still news about Williams F1 team principal Jos Capito, who we haven't mentioned yet. What's the news here, Luke?
So yes, that actually was the first team principal news of this week that arrived yesterday evening, that Jos Capito will be leaving Williams after 2 years as its CEO and team principal in Formula One. And it was, truthfully, it was not the most surprising news. We started to hear some whispers in Abu Dhabi that maybe the owners, Darlington Capital, were looking to make a change at the top of that team. It's been a disappointing year for Williams. They didn't really make the second step forward that I think that they were hoping to after obviously getting back into the points in 2021. So yeah, he's leaving the team, as is their technical director, FX Demerson. So two big roles that Williams need to fill at the very top there. We've not got any inkling at the moment as to who will be taking up those positions. But yes, that means in the space of, 24 hours, we've had 14 principal changes in Formula One, which is, quite a lot.
He's a former Volkswagen manager as well. So, again, he's been around motorsport a very long time. Could you see him staying in and around motorsport in various series?
We'll see. So he did actually plan to retire from racing before Williams basically said to him, look, we'd like you to come and help our revival and our restructure and everything. So I don't know if he might go back and think, look, I've done it now, I've retiring 2 years later than I planned, but I'm happy to sort of hang out for good. But as you say, his vast experience I think would be a good asset for anyone to sort of be able to pick his brains at some point. So we'll see. But I my feeling would be that he might think, like, I want to retire now and look back on a successful career.
Maybe as a possibly an advisor, a consultant role. I'm sure someone like Andreas Seidel would always be happy to have someone of his experience with a bit of input. But hey, as you say, to stay out of the politics of running a full-time motorsport team, but to be around, it'd be very interesting to see how that does all shake out. Right, final thoughts from you then on what these new appointees can achieve in a cost cap era, like I mentioned, in both the, you know, the short term and the long term as well.
Yeah, well, I think short term, realistically, all of them are going to be saying, I can't really have much of an impact on 2023. The car development is obviously a long way down the road. Most teams have already got planned when they're going to be launching and doing their shakedowns and stuff like that. So they can't really have a massive impact on next year. But I think looking further into the future, that is where it's really going to come into force. Like, what can these team principals do? How can they get the right culture in their teams? How can they make their mark? I think for Seidel, he's probably got the biggest task in terms of getting all of the sort of puzzle pieces in place for Audi for its arrival in 2026. But you look at Vasseur as well. Arguably, there's no bigger job in Formula One being Ferrari team principal. And I think that all of the pressures and the brutality of the Italian media and everything like that, that's something he's going to have to get to grips with and get a handle of. So it's it's going to be interesting to see, definitely. I think that for next year, it'll just be about them getting sort of their feet under the table and really starting to get an understanding of how the team works. But I think that all of the appointments seem like good moves. I'm particularly excited to see what Seidel does with Sauber/Audi because, I've known him since he was at Porsche and I was covering Le Mans, and it just a really, really good operator. And I think that it's exciting to see what he can do there with Vasseur as well, though. I think that's a really good appointment by Ferrari. I think it's good to get someone from the outside coming in as well. So I think it's very exciting, and it's going to be very interesting, if not a bit strange, when we get to Bahrain for testing in the first race and there's a few different people wearing a different team kit.
Absolutely. Well, with Vasseur now in at Ferrari, it's a job where they've made clear only winning championships is good enough. And so it's a huge job. But hey, when they come knocking, you got to say yes, because it's a chance to manage Ferrari. But like you say, the other appointments actually took us by surprise today. Well, thank you very much for listening to today's podcast. You can follow everything that we're writing about online for immediate breaking news, autosport.com, and also our social channels as well. Of course, every Thursday, Autosport magazine comes out with a bunch of stuff that you can read. Double issue on the 22nd of December, which will have our top 50 drivers of the year, and that will definitely be one for a conversation round the Christmas dinner table, if you agree or disagree with where we've put, or our team of experts have put, the various drivers this year. Thank you very much for listening to the podcast, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Reach new career heights with University of Maryland's Robert H. Smith School of Business. Flexible MBA and MS options. GMAT and GRE not required. Learn more at go.umd.edu/smithschool. University of Maryland Smith School of Business. Inspired, fearless, unstoppable.
Sports Social Podcast Network.